All right, let's open our Bibles, brothers and sisters, back to Revelation chapter 4. And we've been studying about the different companies in heaven. And thank God we've rejoiced and continue to rejoice in this. And I pray, brothers and sisters, we understand this is not for head knowledge. This is so wonderful to rejoice in the perfection of His love to us. That's what this is. It really is to stand in awe of how He loves us. And it really does, as the Spirit makes this real to our lives. I thank the Lord for this. This isn't just to get lost in details. I hope we know that. This is to just rejoice and to be that ever-expanding wineskin as the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts. And we are so appreciative of what we know and how He cares for us. But you know, brothers and sisters, this is so sweetly, really, just in that eloquence of, let me show you how much I love you. Let me show you how I've been counting the ways in ages past. And it's the truth. And as we are allowed by His grace and by His Spirit, that the eyes of our understanding become more and more enlightened. It's incredible. It's wonderful. It's not just a first pass and, well, that's great, the Lord loves me and I'm saved. And I thank God for anybody who's accepted any amount of the love of God, because if you have, praise God, you've accepted Him as Savior. But how much in the depth and the height and the breadth and the width and the length and every dimension we could beyond, but yet He said that we could know the love of Christ. So this is what it is, and this is the very will of God. Now, we left off last week rejoicing in the four living ones and the incredible oneness between the Lamb and His wife. It's incredible how compacted and tightly fit, praise God, that glorious rib portion is to one another, and to Him. And we saw here in Revelation 4 that the four living ones are truly seated in the middle of the throne with Him. In 1 Kings chapter 8, we read about the ark that was carried and how the ark was carried by four rings. And how sweetly we saw those four rings even representing again of these four living ones. And how the rings were there for one purpose only. And that was to exalt Him, to lift Him up. Without the rings, without the wife, the husband can't be exalted. See, the rings were in the ark. And again, the staves, those sticks were thrust through those rings, and then the priests would get underneath those staves and lift the ark. But again, without the rings, without, praise God, those precious four living ones, that bride, he couldn't be exalted. And you think again how perfect this is. Christ Jesus will not take His throne until He has His wife. Until He can be exalted with her. Until He and her will jointly rule and reign together. The perfection in it is just beyond. But yet again, we're just seeing it just a little, just a little. And someday in the ages to come, here it is. The exceeding riches of His grace in this word. With a body like unto His own. My, oh my, praise be to God. But then we see that also that the cherubim was made even part of the mercy seat. The cherubim being the four living ones seen in that vision back in Ezekiel and even in Genesis and Isaiah and all of these different places. And praise God, we saw that the mercy seat itself, the very covering of the ark of the covenant, out of that mercy seat in one piece of beaten gold, here came the cherubim. And how perfect again that is. Just like Him. 100% grace and nothing else. The very covering, the glory, if you will, of the husband, that precious wife. And brothers and sisters, this is the glory and honor that the wife is to Jesus. As it says there in John 14, the woman is the glory of man. And we rejoice in how it is so typed and shadowed all throughout the Old Testament. In 1 Kings 8, 6, I had a sweet sister that called me was just rejoicing what we read last week. Let's just turn there real quick in 1 Kings 8, 6. And it was so precious how you just read it for what it is and it just jumps right out at you. But we read there about the priest carrying in the ark. And you look at that little verse there and it says, "And the priest brought in the ark of the covenant of the Lord unto his place, into the oracle, the house, to the most holy place under the wings of the cherubim." Just listen to how that reads. That ark went to the most holy place. Now we understand again in that Holy of Holies, I understand that. But in this case, and it says it again in Chronicles, right there under the wings of the cherubim, right into her arms, there wasn't a more set apart place, because that's that most holy, the most set apart. Isn't that wonderful? And let me tell you how set apart they'll be someday. As you read down through there in chapter 8, we saw that even though the priest could take that in there, after a while, that smoke started rising up. The cloud filled the temple. The priests had to get out of there. And all that remained was the ark, our Lord, and his cherubim, his wife. What a honeymoon it'll be. Now, this isn't something that we're trying to force or anything of that nature. Just again, read it for what it is. It is such a precious thing to see the love that he has for his readied wife. She is set apart to him. And God help us to really begin to see and rejoice in the readied wife. And in spirit now, see, not someday, but now, thrilling in what someday will be the most holy faith made sight. Can you imagine that? The most holy faith made sight. Praise God. And we're talking about ones that believe that the Lord, you really are offering me to be set apart to you like that. Amen, and I want it. Amen. Praise the Lord. And see, only the Holy Spirit can minister to that to us, take us to that, and grow us up into that in all things, to be filled with all the fullness of God. Now, let's go ahead and read Revelation 4, verses 1 through 8 again. "After this I looked," and again this is John, "behold, a door was opened in heaven." Again, the trumpet sounded, heaven is opened, the bride has been taken. "And the first voice which I heard, as it were, of a trumpet talking with me, which said, come up hither, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter. And immediately I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one sat on the throne." Now think about that again, that immediately. See, this is again in type of when we hear, by his grace, that trumpet, in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, immediately to God. That's just beyond any immediately we could even understand. And boy, that Spirit, my goodness, and what a throne to behold. "But a throne was set in heaven, and one sat on the throne, and he that sat was to look upon like a jasper and a sardine stone, and there was a rainbow round about the throne in sight like unto an emerald." So again, we see Jesus Christ being spoken of here, and so wonderful on that throne. And what does he see at the same time on that throne? "And round about the throne were 24 thrones." Again, we know that these are the Old Testament overcomers. "And upon the seats I saw 24 elders sitting clothed in white raiment, and they had on their heads crowns of gold. And out of the throne proceeded lightnings and thunderings and voices. And there were 7 lamps of fire burning before the throne, which are the 7 spirits of God. And before the throne there was a sea of glass like unto crystal. And in the midst of the throne," or in the middle of the throne, or seated in the throne, "and round about the throne were 4 beasts, the 4 living ones, full of eyes before and behind. And the first beast was like a lion, and the second beast was like a calf, and the third beast had a face of a man, and the fourth beast was like a flying eagle. All of that exactly, intimately describes our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Those are the four Gospels revealed. That company is like Him. And the four living ones, or the four beasts, had each of them six wings about, and they were full of eyes within. And they rest not day and night, saying, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come. We'll go ahead and stop right there. But see, brothers and sisters, it's all Him, isn't it? This four living one, praise be to God. It is the epitome of Christ in you, the hope of glory. This is it. Christ in you, the hope of glory. And that's this precious bridal company. They have grown from glory to glory into His very image. They have grown up into Him, not just in Matthew, not just in Mark. You see what I'm saying? Not just as a man, not just as a calf, or not just as a man and a lion. You see what I'm saying? They've grown up into Him in all things. The lion, the calf, the man, and the eagle. It's all there. See, it's complete. Praise God. It's, as Brother Copley used to say, she's perfect symmetry. Perfectly symmetrical. She doesn't have a bad side. No matter what angle you look at her, she looks just like Jesus. Because she is filled with all the fullness of God. Christ-like, Son glory. Being found only in His righteousness. And this is who she is. And again, going back and thinking about 1 Kings last week, every type of the cherubim, which represents again the four living ones, which is the same, which represents the wife, every type is made of Him. Pure gold. Pure gold. Whether the rings or the cherubim, all of that. Not just made of that gold, but made part of Him. Isn't that something? Praise God. Fixed in Him. And then the staves that were thrust through those rings pierced her. She is that blessed pierced side of the rib portion. The rib company that will come out of the church that is sleeping in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Perfectly illustrated in the very beginning of Adam when the sleep falls upon him. That represents again the church and that rib portion taken out of him. And praise be to God, isn't it something, as sister was reminding me, in our human bodies, brothers and sisters, do you know you have 24 ribs? Just like the 24 elders, right? Think of it like that. And the Lord just hit me with that. See, the 24 elders represent that rib company in, the 24 elders represent, again, that overcoming company in the Old Testament. All right? So you think about that. And here, even in our natural body, the 24 ribs are still there. But there was a rib taken out. And that rib became a whole body in itself. So it was like the overcomers. It was of like faith, in a sense, of taking all that was offered. But there was a better thing offered to that company. And not only were they a rib, but they became a body, like unto His own glorious body. Even creation speaks of it. Isn't it incredible? I sit there and am just in awe of, again, how perfect He is. It's wonderful. All right. So Eve, that rib portion of Adam, that rib, was made Eve, his wife. And was bestowed to him, just as we read last week of the four rings that were the first things or bestowed or given to the ark to exalt it. John 14:20 says it like this. It's awesome. At that day ye shall know that I am in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you. Wonderful stuff. All right, let's go back to Revelation. And here we go with a little bit more of what the Spirit has for us tonight. We'll pick it up there in the third verse. And he that sat was to look upon like a jasper and a sardine stone, and there was a rainbow round about the throne in sight like unto an emerald. Now, this is magnificent. This is our Lord and Savior speaking here of the diamond. How wondrous he is, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. But now what I want you to do is go with me over to Revelation 21. So think about what we just read there in the description of our Lord in this light. And in 21, verse 9, it says, "And there came unto me one of the seven angels, which had the seven vials full of the seven last plagues, and talked with me, saying, Come hither, I will show thee the bride, the Lamb's wife. And he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain, and showed me that great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God, having the glory of God. And her light was like unto a stone most precious, even like a jasper stone, clear as crystal." Now, there she is. And again, this precious company, the four living ones, is this precious bride, the Lamb's wife. And I want to make note of this. She is the only company of all the companies that we will read about that is described as the jasper stone, just like him. She looks like him. Matter of fact, it even said in what we read, she's the only one that has the glory like him. Because praise be to God, she has his glory. And what a precious display of him and him alone, because that's who she is and nothing else. And get this, the word jasper, it even means he will be made prominent. Did you hear that? The word jasper even means he will be made prominent. And isn't that just who she is? See, she's transparent. And that's another thing about the jasper. It's transparent. And we speak of that often in here. Is it's Christ in you. It's Christ in me, brothers and sisters. That's the hope of glory. The ones that are only found in his righteousness. The four living ones that, again, all they do is, praise be to God, they look like him. And thanking Jesus that they're filled with all the fullness of him. They magnify him. They worship him. And praise be to God, that is who she is. She's like him. See, again, the simplicity of the gospel and how perfect and how straight those lines are. Now, we're going to hit Ezekiel chapter 1 here in a minute. But I really encourage you, if you have some time and the Lord encourages your heart, go study out that first chapter of Ezekiel. And you'll see, again, these four living ones, the cherubim. You'll see the firmament. You'll see the fire. You'll even see the rainbow that we've even spoken of here in chapter 4, verse 3 of Revelation. You'll see all of that back there in Ezekiel, right there with the glory of God. And I'm telling you, hallelujah, it's all there. He's placed it there. It was all there. See, they couldn't understand it. Just like Daniel, he wanted to look into that. He wanted to understand what that was, what he was seeing. But yet, as God did, he shut that up and he said, that's not for you. But as the word of God says so preciously to us, the prophets wrote of these things for us. They could not look into it, but it was for us. And without us, they cannot be made perfect. Praise the Lord. And we are greatly blessed. And I thank the Lord for what great grace has been bestowed to us. Now, getting back to chapter 4 of Revelation, verse 4. And round about the throne were 24 seats, and upon the seats I saw 24 elders sitting, clothed in white raiment, and they had on their heads crowns of gold. Okay, we're going to focus on verse 5 here. And out of the throne proceeded lightnings and thunderings and voices. And there were seven lamps of fire burning before the throne, which are the seven spirits of God. So here we have, right after we see these 24 elders, boom, out of the throne, right? Out of the throne. That's our statement there in verse 5. And I pray to God that it thrills us whenever we hear midst of the throne, out of the throne, in the throne, anything about that precious throne. Lord, by your grace, you're talking about me. Praise be to God. This is our place. Now, God help us to take this and just let him perform it. But out of the throne, again, I want you to listen to this. In the Greek, literally means out of the place assigned for kings. Out of the place assigned for kings. I believe we read in 5:9 that he's redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred, tongue, and people and nation. And verse 10, and hast made us unto our God kings and priests. So praise the Lord. Out of the throne. Again, out of the place assigned for kings. Now, and what proceeded out of that? Lightning, thundering, and voices. I want to park there for a moment. Let the Lord minister to us. And that literally means lamps thundering as instruments and tongues. Lamps thundering as instruments and tongues. And I'll tell you, you're going to have to catch your breath here in a minute because we're going to go back to Ezekiel 1. And I want you to think about that. The lightnings and thunderings and voices. All right? Let's go back to Ezekiel chapter 1. And we're going to go ahead and read verses 3 through 14. The word of the Lord came expressly unto Ezekiel the priest, the son of Buzi, in the land of the Chaldeans by the river Kabar, and the hand of the Lord was there upon him. And I looked, and behold, a whirlwind came out of the north. And I love that word whirlwind, by the way. You'll find that word mentioned of Elijah when he was taken up into heaven in a whirlwind. And by the way, that whirlwind, you know what it means? Caught up together with a force. You'll find that same meaning of the word in 1 Thessalonians 4:17, caught up together with him in the clouds. Yeah, it's wonderful stuff. All right. And a great cloud and a fire enfolding itself. I'd take more time on this, brothers and sisters, but I'm just going to hit this briefly. We've studied this before, but I want to remind you of some of these things and what they mean. So it goes and says, and I looked and behold, a whirlwind came out of the north. A great cloud and a fire enfolding itself. And that word enfolding, it means to lay hold and take a wife. And I'll challenge you, go look it up. It means to lay hold and take a wife. Now, how could that word enfolding mean that? He's talking to us. He's speaking to us. And I thank the Lord if the Spirit, when he wants to, when he's tapping you on the shoulder and says, you know, I want to show you a little bit more, take time. But remember this. We're not going to go in there and bring our own axe, picks, and shovels and say, okay, here's how deep I'm going to go today. It doesn't work like that. It's going to be on his time. And he's going to take you where he wants and when he wants. So think of that. And a brightness was about it, and out of the midst thereof, as the color of amber, out of the midst of the fire. And by the way, that word amber, the color of amber that comes out, that means brass made smooth. That's chastened perfection. Right there. Isn't that who she is? Chastened completion. She's endured that, praise be to God. And thanks be to God, she has endured that chastening as a son, hallelujah, and has grown up into him in all things. So verse 5, also out of the midst thereof came the likeness of four living creatures. There they are. And this was their appearance. They had the likeness of a man. And every one had four faces, and every one had four wings. And their feet were straight feet. See, they didn't have feet that went every which way. They were straight ways. And the sole of their feet was like the sole of a calf's foot. and they sparkled like the color of burnished brass. And they had the hands of a man under their wings of their four sides, and they four had their faces and their wings. Their wings were joined one to another, and they turned not when they went. They went every one straight forward. Isn't that wonderful? As the likeness of their faces, they had four. They four had the face of a man, the face of a lion, and on the right side, and the four had the face of an ox on the left side, and the four also had the face of an eagle. So there it is. Thus were their faces, and their wings were stretched upward. Two wings of every one were joined one to another, and two covered their bodies. And they went every one straight forward. That straight forward's pretty emphasized here, isn't it? It's a narrow way. And it's a mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. It doesn't swerve, does it? Remember we talked about ones that swerve back there in Timothy? That swerve from the truth? That are rocked to and fro? Huh? Straight feet and straight ways. Paul's gospel. This is what it is. That's the mark. And make no doubt about it, that's the mark. And they went, and they turned not when they went. Isn't that something? See, they went. I will go, just like Rebecca. And she turned not, she just went. As for their likeness of the living creatures, now listen, here we go about, remember the lightnings and the thunderings and all this? Here we go. As for the likeness of the living creatures, their appearance was like burning coals of fire, and like the appearance of lamps. I think we just read that, didn't we, over there in Revelation. It went up and down among the living creatures, and the fire was bright, and out of the fire went forth lightning, and the living creatures ran and returned as the appearance of a flash of lightning. Huh? They're pretty fast, pretty powerful ones, aren't they? Because they're like him. All right. So there it is. See those burning lamps? They're fiery ones. And brothers and sisters, whether you go into Revelation, and I'll just give you some verses, 8:5, Revelation 11:19, Revelation 16:18, and there's more. It speaks of the lightning and the voices that come out of the throne. And when those voices and lightning that come out of the throne, during those verses and chapters that I'm talking about there, judgment comes down. They bring the judgment. They rule and reign jointly with Jesus Christ. And they bring the judgment throughout the tribulation. The lightning pours out the hail, the great earthquake. Again, Jesus Christ and his wife, they will rule and reign jointly together. And this is what it is. Turn over to Revelation 6:1. It says there, "And I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals." And if you recall, as each one of these seals were opened, remember the seven seals, that's when the judgments began upon the earth. "And I heard, as it were, the noise of thunder." Huh. "One of the four beasts saying, 'Come and see.'" So pay attention to these things. See, when those four beasts speak, it's thunder. When they move, it's lightning. Praise God. And when it's poured out, it's his wrath. And I'm thankful to the Lord. Well, I'll tell you, what a time to be on the right side. You don't want to have anything to do with the other side of that. And thanks be to God, you won't. Praise the Lord. But you see that... that is who exactly the thunders and the lightning is. And the reason that's so important is now when you read Revelation, it becomes more alive to you. You understand and get more of a precious encouragement of the Spirit and such a connection of what the ruling and reigning jointly together with Christ will be. Turn over to chapter 5, verse 2. I'll just give you another little thing to rejoice in here. And it says, "And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, 'Who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof?'" Now, and see, that happens a lot of times when people hear angel. They always think of those creatures that God has made that basically can't do anything but what God wants them to do. But in this wonderful revelation, you'll read the word angel and you'll understand that means a messenger. And I thank God in many of the places here in Revelation, you'll see that these messengers are the same and none other than the four living ones, the bride of Christ, just seen in a different type. And that word strong, by the way, is so wonderful, the meaning in these words. And I'm not trying to get too descriptive to you, but you need to know these things. It means, it doesn't mean strong in strength. That word strong means a living being, living ones. Yes, the four living ones. It's exactly who they are. And they're instilled with the powerful force, the power of his might, just like him. And again, this is vital to see and to be revealed to us, an understanding about these angels that are mentioned, their duties of pouring out judgment, the blowing of the trumpets, they offer up the prayers of the saints. They're one and the same. They are the bride, the Lamb's wife. And again, how much more real and joyous all of this will become to you. And I'll tell you what, you know this, and you go back and read Revelation chapters 14 through 16, I'll tell you what, it'll leave you speechless with what Jesus Christ has in store for you if you let him do it. Amazing. Lord, I don't know how to tie my shoe. But oh my goodness, what you have worked and what will work in me if I just believe you. And I'll tell you, it'll absolutely cause your heart to explode with the reality. See, we get caught in this world and we think what we're going to do tomorrow is so important. Huh? How about all those guys going to Washington, D.C.? Oh, we've got to avoid the financial cliff. That's vitally important. What this does is it really puts it in perspective. You see what I'm saying? And in a sense, that's important for a moment of time. But we're talking about God's eternal purpose and the wrap-up. And he wants us, and the invitation is for us, not to just observe it. Oh, what glory we shall see. Oh, by God's grace, what glory I will be. It's the truth. Amen. See, I'm not going there to just behold it. By God's grace, I want to be in the midst of that throne. I want to be descending from heaven, having the glory of God. Amen. Because he wants that for me. It's his will and his purpose. And I understand that's just Christ in you, the hope of glory. Now, one little final note tonight. Because I'll tell you, when you start, when the Spirit lays this on, it's like you start to ache. I can't take no more. It was kind of like dinner the other night when you ate and you challenged that plate and you started sweating and then you thought you're going to have to be taken in for something. But here you go. One little final note on this wife company. Going back to chapter 4 of Revelation, let's read from verse 9. All right? And when those beasts, or the four living ones, give glory and honor and thanks to him that sat on the throne, who lives forever and ever. So they're giving that praise to him. The 24 elders fall down before him that sat on the throne, and worship him that liveth forever and ever, and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power. For thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. Now, did you read that? Did I read that slow enough? Okay. Now, this is the little last thing the Lord will, I believe, place in our hearts to expand. The four living ones, brothers and sisters, as we go through Revelation, always begin and lead all the praise and the worship. They do. And right now, they are the true worshipers that worship him in spirit and in truth. They don't just become that. They live that right now. It's just like the bride is the readied wife right now. She operates, she moves, she is occupied, and she endures, and she waits patiently as his readied wife right now. Not as just a bride-to-be, but as a readied wife. So wonderful what God, and again, his grace does in her life. And they praise him for one thing. him. They praise him for him. They don't give him works or gifts or things, but what they give him is all glory to him. They honor to him. They give him all thanks to him. And then look what that does to that full overcomer company in the Old Testament, those 24 elders, as they're hearing this, as they're seeing this. What happens to them? They fall down. That word fall down means they completely go prostrate. Bam. Literally, it means to disappear. It's amazing. And they cast their crowns before the throne. And that is an important thing, brothers and sisters. And yes, we do sing that in that song. The 24 elders will cast their crown. It never says that of the four living ones. It never says that about hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take your crown. That's a different crown. That is the exalted rank of righteousness that Brother Paul is speaking of there. Even in our natural world's monarchy, it's an insult to the king if the queen ever removes her crown in front of anyone, ever. It's known that all over the world. The queen never removes her crown, ever, in front of anyone. I'm confident that somehow, some way, maybe in the Holy of Holies, when they're two are together, the crown comes off. I don't know. But the one thing I do know is in this precious scripture, yes, those 24 elders do, but those four living ones will not. And know that. It is important. Because there's a different place that is offered to the four living ones, and that is in the middle of the throne. All right. Again, more evidence that God gives us. It's not that we're trying to jam or prove or hone in a point. This is rejoicing. This is beautiful. This is so precious to us. This is the better thing to us. This is the without us, they cannot be made complete. This is... Even our precious Lord cannot be exalted in the way he needs to be exalted until he has his wife. If he could have been exalted to that point with the 24 elders, by God's grace, many of the graves were opened, right? They're there. He would have been able to have that. But he cannot until he has his wife. Isn't that wonderful? Praise the Lord. It is all there. Now, going on with this. And he has to keep us sober here for about another 10 minutes, maybe five. So, what a chord it strikes here as we see in the hearts of the full overcomer in the Old Testament. But there's far more than what it just says here that you would just read in a quick glance of where it says in the 11th verse, "For thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created." You'll read through that, and sometimes we just think, oh, created meaning creation. He just created everything for himself, which he did. Don't get me wrong. But there's more meaning here. That word created means transformed a people. Yes, it does. Now listen to this, really. Stay on it. I know we're a little bit weary here tonight, but this is good stuff. It means, that word created means transformed a people. And there is a deeper meaning here if we'll let God do this for us. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians 11, 9. 1 Corinthians 11, 9. It says, "Neither was the man created for the woman, but the woman for the man." Okay? That word created right there is the same word there, created. There was a transformation. And that the woman was for the man. Amen? Now, stay with it. Now, Ephesians chapter 2. Let's go over there. We'll read about a precious transformation too. "For we are his workmanship." Amen? Amen. Aren't we thankful for that? There's the word, "created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." Praise the Lord. Now, it's all there. We know that. We have been blessed with all the spiritual blessings in the heavens in Christ, the moment of salvation. But without the renewing of our mind, we will never be transformed from glory to glory into His very image. You see where this is going. You go over to 4:24. And that ye put on the new man, and that means ye have put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. And again, this is the encouragement, brothers and sisters, of the transformation. We already are blessed. We already are holy. We already are righteous. But let's grow in it now. Let's be transformed. Praise the Lord. Now let's go back to our text in verse 11. Created now takes on a whole new realm for us. His wife, this is what this means, transformed. So see, thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. So here we go, the wife, they're seeing this, these Old Testament full overcomers. They're in awe of what has been made here. They're hearing and seeing the four living ones give glory to God, and then they see and hear His glorious wife, and here's what they say to Him. Thou art worthy to receive glory, honor, and power, for Thou hast transformed a people. Praise God. Transformed His wife, His masterpiece molded, His workmanship stands forth. And what for? All for His pleasure. Ephesians chapter 1. Here we go. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 5. Having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will. So there it's starting to be laid out for us, isn't it? Praise God. And then in verse 9 there. Having made known unto us the mystery of His will, according to His good pleasure, which He purposed in Himself. Philippians 2:13. And this will finish it in that thought tonight. For it is God which works in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure. See, they're beholding this. Those 24 elders, yes, they give all glory to God. I know that. And yes, they cast their crowns to Him because, praise be to God, they're seeing Him exalted in the height of heights. There is His masterpiece. There is, praise God, His completion. He has His wife. Yes, now they're praising Him because even in that word that we read there in Hebrews, they cannot be made perfect without us. Now they're complete. They see that it has come. That fullness has been filled. From glory to glory, brothers and sisters, is going on right now. And what those 24 elders are beholding is the transformation of that precious company in its fullness to His very image. And praise be to God, it's the beginning of He will make known. He will make known to all that I have loved thee. Praise the Lord. So I am encouraged with that tonight. And let's stand and be dismissed. Thank you, Jesus.